So only in very recent years have they participated as fully as they are doing now, because they felt like, what were they, voting for? Mm-hmm. Whom were they voting for? Because everybody then was a, a white man.
Yes, but even during this, during this time, even though blacks didn't feel this way, NAACP still had that as a thrust.
Oh, that was it. Yes. They mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. And so they became more and more interested. The NAACP did a lot to get them more and more interested in politics and getting out among the people and seeking out some of the Negroes that were qualified to do these jobs. Mm-hmm. Even I had the opportunity to just work the polls, and they were surprised. Mm-hmm. And I will be this year mm-hmm. in Stratford. And I was the first black one up there to work the polls in the town of Stratford.
Oh.
And I had to give that up because of my condition. But this year, I haven't said anything to any of the others about it. Because believe me, your own people, if they see you doing something that they haven't been able to do, they resent it. Because when they came in and found that I was at one of the machines, walked up and walked in. You get some more taxpayers' money. And what I said to them, I said, yes. And I'm paying it right back to them. Paying taxes for more than one thing. A home, and two cars, I said. So I'm just getting some money. I said, but you're not paying any. You don't own any home. And you're not paying any taxes. So does it disturb you? But then I had to give up for the same reason I gave up teaching. But it says, I expect 3 weeks, already told my husband, yes. So I come right on. So you have to go out. And something else I wanted to do in the town of Stratford, but just not the town of Stratford, in Bridgeport too. But unless you just have a lot of time and you can get around among people. Now my brother-in-law is doing more. He's doing everything he can do, and he's not even able to hardly do for himself to see the tooth they'll get in. Mm-hmm. He's been having these fish fries and raising funds, to help him. He did last year, and he hopefully he will win, because I'm sure if he does, my brother-in-law is not a fully educated man. But he took a course in welding in Baltimore during World War II. And so he was excellent at welding and that type of job. Mm-hmm. You see those black stands up on the front of the church across there where they stand and plant farm? He made those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made them. And he can do things like that. Mm-hmm. But he's really been out here fighting for it. Yes. Really. Even though his wife has been sick and he has a bad foot himself, mm-hmm. doctor told him to stay off it. Mm-hmm. So I told him then, I hope and pray that Tuesday'll get it, because maybe he'll see if he gets some type of job that he won't have to be on that leg so much, mm-hmm. because he's been warned about it. But that's the way they have to fight to get in there and get these jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. So,
I think we just about covered World War II and afterwards. Yeah. What about
the
60s?
Well, they began before that. Now, when I was going to school away from home, when I came home in the summer, I always looked for a job. And the only job that the blacks got in these stores, like the, they have clerks in them now, and most any kind of a job that's available, they can get. Before that, the only thing you could do in D.M. Reed was run an elevator. And that's what I did every summer when I came home, we got some summer money. But now they've opened up all the doors for them. Whatever they're capable of doing, if they can do it, they get a job if there's an opening. So it did open up doors for even court reporters. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who, I don't know why she decided that's what she wanted to be, but she went to school and she's been a court reporter for, oh yes, Now one of her sisters is a manager of one of the banks. She left Bridgeport and went to New York into a bank, and she made advancement. Now she's bank manager.
Mm-hmm. See, I want to go to the 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were having the marches and sit-ins.
Oh, yeah.
And, were you very much aware of the social upheaval that was happening, the kinds of things that these impacts they were having on Bridgeport?
Well, let me see. In what way?
Well, did you participate in them, or did your husband, or?
Oh, well, practically everything that was open for, well, I'd say, not just one little area, but whatever was going on to enhance the city of Bridgeport, even as far as industry was concerned, or whatever opportunities there were, we all, I think, shared in it. Mm-hmm. Both Stratford and Bridgeport.
I know. Do you think that Bridgeport has actively participated in these marches and sit-ins, the residents?
Where did they have that? Mm-hmm. Not as much, I don't think, as they possibly could. Because I don't think there was enough enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I don't think many of them didn't really realize what it was all about. I think that was one of the reasons. Because I don't think the NAACP reaches the people as much as it used to. I really don't. And these younger people are coming.
So you think that was true during the 60s too? That they didn't, mm-hmm. that the people, they just didn't get to the people like they should?
Well, perhaps not.
What
it was the older people who were more or less concerned and hung in with the NAACP. But now they have more younger people. But before they didn't, because I was looking at my return card and a letter they sent out a couple of weeks ago. And let's see, what did it say about, oh, now they have a certain fee for age groups and what it would cost for over 1 year. I don't know what I did with that letter. I guess that was the one sent to Ben. And the younger people years ago weren't brought into it to be active. They really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, I mean, that they have younger people coming in, I think. I haven't been to a meeting in quite a while. But I do get the letters, and I know what is possibly going on. But I think there was more spirit into the NAACP during the 60s
mm-hmm.
than there is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, once they got over the fence, they slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But now they need to get over that fence again. And I think more and more of the people are interested, and the younger people too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about it.
Mm.
Because they've had it so easy in between that gap.
Mm-hmm.
They were satisfied. Things were going pretty good for them then. But now they really need to in order to get things going again.
So you think that the 60s did have a positive effect on Bridgeport?
I think so. I really do.
Uh-huh. Were there changes in neighborhoods?
Oh, yes. We didn't have, as I said to you yesterday, this was all white area.
Uh-huh.
All around. They built new homes and all the way from Stratford Avenue all the way down. There are just as many blacks as there are white.
What about the attitudes of blacks and white?
Oh, there must be all right, because you can buy a house right next door to anybody you want if you've got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. You can go down there, you don't know whether black or white are living mm-hmm. in houses unless you see them.
Yes.
So that's the way it is now. But before, it wasn't that way.
Mm-hmm. What about facilities? Did more of them open during the 60s?
Oh, yeah. It did. They did. And one thing about it is, we didn't know what it was to have a snowplow coming as soon as it started snowing and all that. And they make no difference in the area you live. Not here. Now in Bridgeport, I can't speak too much about it. But in Stratford, when it starts snowing, and if it snows overnight, by mid-morning next door, the snowplows are coming. And they clear the streets. That's one thing I like about Stratford. You can call them in the middle of the night if something's wrong. By the way, just I can't think of what you call the thing that blew, and we had no lights at all around here. Mm-hmm. Last week we did one night.
And transistor.
No, yeah, that's right, transformer.
Transformer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they came out at 10 o'clock at night or 10:30 with their trucks, you know, and the ladders and that. All I could see was just up there where the lights were, cut the limbs off the trees and got that transformer going. And then 2 weeks later, it blew again. I was in the house, didn't know which way to turn. But they sent the men down, and it was late. And so I think the attitude is far, far better than it used to be. Not that the people in Stratford were ugly, but they just couldn't, I don't think, get themselves to the point where they could accept black people as they did. And they opened the doors of their churches. We have a mixed church. We have mixed churches all over Stratford. And now they have, like this weekend, last weekend, they have group meetings. If it's a Baptist church or a Methodist church, that's what they do. And they get them to come together and have these, sessions, so that whatever is going on to benefit the people, they all get the same information at the same time. So that's the way, you know, that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the government programs that were initiated during that time? You know, the poverty programs and subsidies and all the stuff that began during the 60s?
I'll turn my heat up. I forgot I had somebody upstairs. And other groups and institutions, I think more or less they went together to provide either money, food, or clothing for those who were needed help. That's been one of the things that I think they do annually, and especially for the elderly people. And they, they go out and they solicit for clothing and for food. Which is good. They don't give too much money. They find out what is needed, and they usually try to. If we had a food basket in our church about a month ago, for people who were out of work and for those who, you know, especially elderly people. And I think they're gonna have one this month. I'm not so sure, but I believe that they are, because they said we're going to have another food basket, which means that if you have goods that you want to, or if you want to go out and buy goods, don't buy too much fresh foods, but they make sure that they have foods nutritious, that have the proper nutrition in it, so that they may not have the finest there is, but it's good food. I know we had a case there at church about 1 month ago, where they felt this poor man was a faithful member of the church, but he can't do anything for himself now, and he lives by himself. And this one of the members had been to see him, and the condition was so bad, and he wasn't eating food right because he couldn't cook for himself, and he didn't have the proper food in the house. So, we decided to do. Yes, withdrew money from our treasury. This is the missionary circle that did this. But that's the attitude that most people have when they find out a person is in that condition. So they had a committee to go out and buy the type of foods that he could put away, and not a lot of fresh foods, like fresh meats and things that was bought, but nutritious foods with meat in them, so that at least if anybody should go in, they wouldn't have to worry about cooking, and the meat wouldn't stay there and deteriorate because he's not able to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. So they do that wherever they find cases that is necessary. Mm-hmm. And the all the races participate.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about ABCD and the kind of poverty program that it
is? I don't care if my pastor is the head of it. I think there is quite a little unfairness in it.
Oh.
Some people do and some people don't. Some need and some don't. And then some get right away and some don't. So mm-hmm. I think it should be, I think they need a little broader, a little, I can't think of the word. In other words, I think that they need a larger committee to determine the needs of the people and what they need. Mm-hmm. I think that they need a little larger help.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Do you think their programs are good?
In some instances, they're good, and some I don't think they are. Some. I don't see where you can take a person whose husband is a professional man, a doctor, a dentist, or a lawyer, and when there are many people out there who need a job, don't have any job, mm-hmm. husband or wife, and here.
Well, that's who it's supposed to be for, the people who are without jobs.
Well, there are people who, the doctor's wife sitting up there with jobs. I mean, people that I know, and we're not close as friends at all. But if the doctor's out there and he has a job, and the wife, I think, if she's a good thinking woman, I don't see why there would be a need for her to go, just hand it to me. And there are others out there without a job. I think they should be given consideration no matter who's head of it. I don't care who.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they need a job and they're qualified, while nobody perhaps in the family is working, then I feel that they should be first.
Yes.
Not saying that it's wrong to give the others a job, but if a person is qualified for the job, I feel that they should come first.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about the Vietnam War. Now, did anybody in your family or friends of yours participate in that, in the Vietnam conflict? This was, when they sent boys over. Well, really, they sent them to the Korean War and into Vietnam, but the war wasn't declared officially.
Well, those were in New Guinea, were in World War.
The one of the world wars.
Yeah, Well, if I knew any of them?
If you, I thought if perhaps someone in your family may have participated in that war, friends of yours.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well, I'm at the end of the questions that I prepared to ask you. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you think is important that you want to tell me about?
Well, let me see now. This includes Stratford and Bridgeport, right? Mainly Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could say the same thing that other people say, that I don't know what to say. I know Bridgeport isn't like it used to be, and a lot of the good things that were going on in Bridgeport I mean, they can't now because of the conditions in Bridgeport, and nobody wants to be, nobody seems to want to really, really be in that, in the area where these things are happening. That's what I feel about it. They're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there was a job available, I know the women would want to. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't feel safe because there were a lot of good business places on the east side, and women were nice places like movies, and then there were businesses like the hairdressers and the barbers and the grocery stores and all. Well, you didn't have to go downtown to any big store to get what you wanted, or you didn't have to come to Stratford. And I think that really Bridgeport is not the place that anybody would really want to go right now in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perhaps the reason that I'm just thinking of to me, it's the black people, as far as business is concerned, they're breaking down, and the white man doesn't want to come in there in the conditions that they have, and that has knocked a lot of good jobs, or have prevented people from getting jobs in that area because they don't want to be around in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's, in other words, declining in the conditions
mm-hmm.
is one thing that's causing so much poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who want to have businesses in that area,
mm-hmm.
and they should be able to have them, they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the way I feel about it, because I didn't used to go all the way to downtown. People from Stratford used to go over the east side. They had nice clothing stores over there, shoe stores, and all. We did, almost all of the clothes that I ever wore when I was going to college were bought on the east side because they had some beautiful shops over there then. And they were nice clothes. They weren't just inexpensive clothes. They were expensive clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They were very. But my uncle always wanted me to have the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay then, but right now there isn't much on the east side that anybody would want to. I don't think would want to do.
Did any blacks own those businesses?
Yes. We had barber shops. They had nice clean pool rooms for the men who like to play pool. They had...
These were black on.
Black. I'm talking about black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the people that I know. And they had about three nice beauty shops, but they were all closed up. And they had, there was a nice, whatever you want, a combination eating place. And I'd say similar to going into a place where you can get beverages and a good meal and a clean place. No, not anymore. So that knocked a lot of the business in the head on that area.
Mm-hmm.
And not hardly many people really want to go through there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's caused a breakdown in Bridgeport.
When do you think this change began to take place? Was it
when
the 50s or the 60s?
Not the 60s. No, I said 70s. But not as fast as it has been in the last year or so. But it began back in the 70s because I know when I really, when I really realized that it was declining, about 1975 and 1980 is when it started declining, but it was very slowly declining then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten much worse as wouldn't say the years, but as the months go by.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Missy? You worked in McKinley School, right? Which was right off Stratford
Avenue.
Yes, it
wasn't like that when I was at McKinley. Nothing like it is now.
So it has changed since 1973.
That's been about 10 years. 11, almost 11 years. There was no fear or anything around there then. Not at all. And it was clean. And there were nice stores and eating places at lunchtime. If you didn't bring your lunch, you could go out and sit down and eat. But no more. It has really declined.
That's unfortunate.
It certainly has. It certainly is, because I didn't know what it was to be afraid. I walked from the school all the way over to Connecticut Avenue, where they made nice lunches. I don't think they do now at that place. And then they had so many nice places that, you know, you didn't have to go to one place all the time. And you go sit down in peace and eat, but you're afraid to walk the sidewalk now. And then the way they drive now, you don't know whether they don't pay any attention to the lights hardly. We go through there quite often, and it's just, they won't get out of the street for you. But I contribute that all to the transportation of the dope. I think that's the main cause, because when people have to go that way or do live over that way, they just hang out of the store, out in the street all hours of the night, girls and the boys and all that, and then they're cutting up, and the next thing you know, somebody's being killed. So I feel like they really need more, they have a lot of these policemen out there, but I hate to say too much, so I don't want anybody to cut my throat. But I don't know whether they get paid off not to do things that they should do. I mean, not to let people get by with things that they're doing that they should not be doing. And many times you meet the paper, that's what's happening. Because they demand payment themselves in order to let the guy who's doing the work do it. They do, because I know personally some young men that I knew that grew up there, and it's because some have gotten hurt, they've gotten shot because they have not paid the policeman off. Well, if you read the papers enough, or if you know,
them. There's quite a bit of.
Yeah, I know them. I know some of them that, you don't pay them off, and I think that's what they need more. Pay more attention to what's going happening with the policemen out there on the street, and why is it that the people who use it and all, they don't stand in fear of the policemen anymore. They don't. It's because they pay them off, and I think that's what they need to revitalize the police force. I really do, because I know some that. I mean, I know them by name, that have gotten by, and any that they didn't pay off, they ended up in jail.
That's too bad.
So I think the whole city of Bridgeport government needs to be altered, as I say. I really do. I feel that somewhere down there in City Hall, they haven't put enough emphasis on what should be done, because I'm not bragging about it, because I look at traffic. Now, I've seen things that I don't think we've ever had before. I'm happening in Stratford too. But one thing about it is that if it happens, if it is happening, they're going to have a car. They do have police cars stationed from various places. Now they have one down at Town Fair during the evening, and they'll have them at various places where the youngsters hang out, and they get them off the street.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Fry. This ends our interview.
Okay.
If there's nothing else from you.
Well, I don't know whether I've done anything worthwhile or not, but
you have.
I wanted to show you one thing I have.
Okay, thank you.